So readings this morning, the first reading is the first book of Genesis. Well, the only book of Genesis, actually. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John. First part of that is from chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. And Jesus is speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And also from John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is from the work The Divine Providence, and it's number 46, subsection 3. The divine essence is love and wisdom, and divine love and wisdom are substance itself and form itself, and divine love and wisdom are substance and form in and of themselves. And God created the universe and everything in it, not from nothing, but from himself. It follows from this that everything that has been created, especially ourselves and the love and wisdom within us, is real and is not just an image of reality. If God were not infinite, then nothing finite would exist. If the infinite were not the all, there would not be anything. And if God had not created everything from himself, there would be nothing real, nothing at all. In short, we are because God is. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So today I want to focus on this idea that we are because God is. And you'll be all familiar with this reading from the Bible, being from the first book of the Bible, being the first two verses of the Bible. And I selected these verses for this talk because the heavenly doctrines teach us that the first thing said governs everything that follows. So whether it's the first thing said in a chapter, or at the start of a verse, or at the start of a book, that idea is the idea that flows through everything that follows. And so with these particular verses being at the beginning of the Lord's Word, what we can say from that is that these principal verses govern everything that follows. They are foundational truths that usher in the beginning of spiritual life. And so they must be viewed that way. And so these verses have a special place in preparing the mind for receiving what is to follow throughout the Lord's Word. And this is particularly true for those who look to the Lord's Word in order or in an effort to think and to feel from it. That is, to embrace and take into themselves what is of the Lord's love and wisdom, to think from the Lord's own love and wisdom. This is what the spiritual life is about. It's about coming to a place where we are receptive of the Lord as love and wisdom, and are able to issue out of our life from that base those things that have to do with loving the neighbor and loving the Lord. It should be said from the outset that these verses from the book of Genesis describe in general terms how everything that is comes into being. I mean, that is obvious just from a surface reading of the material. But it's about how what truly exists comes into being. And as we will see, what truly exists can only be that which is from the Lord. That is, things that are of love and wisdom. These are the reality that underlies everything that faithfully reflects the Lord's life. Love and wisdom is substance and form itself. It is the material from which everything comes into existence. The other thing that should be stated up front is that what is being spoken about in these opening verses, not that it has nothing to do with the material creation, but concepts associated with material creation are secondary. What is the primary focus of the Word of God is the creation of a new mind, a new will, and a new understanding. And so what we will see is that this word created has to do with the regeneration of a person. It's used in the word in relation to a person's regeneration. It is not used to describe the creation of a physical material universe outside of ourselves. That is not the focus of the spiritual meaning of the word. It is clear from what the doctrines teach that our spiritual or mental health is a reflection of the quality of the thoughts and feelings that dominate the inner landscape of our mind. The phrase, "we are because God is a helpful reminder to us in this regard because it draws our focus back to the source of life, the source of all health, the source of our spiritual, psychological, and emotional well-being. This verse emphasizes that the life of our mind, if it is to be something truly spiritual, then its activity needs to reflect something of the character and nature of God. So when we talk about being or existing or that we are because God is, we need to be aware that we only truly exist as human beings when our mind is in a heavenly form. Because when the mind is in a heavenly form, it is in a human form. It is in the human form. You see, it is not a given that our mind is human because we exist in a body that carries the label human being. What science calls a human being is not the same as what is defined as being human in the heavenly doctrines. A healthy spirit or mind is one that is open and receptive and so attuned to the inflow of the divine's life. That is, of what is truly loving and wise. Unhealthy states of mind arise from being closed off to this inflow, and this occurs when we fail to acknowledge our spiritual origins, and when we end up being so tied up in lower earthly interests that higher things can't really be said to be living within us. And when spiritual things are not alive for us, we can be said to be without form and void, with darkness upon the face of the deep. We are, or we live, when we have what is truly living, living within us. Living things are spiritual things. They're heavenly things. Things that have to do with producing what is good and true within us. To live spiritually and so to become a genuine human being, one must love what is spiritual. For when this kind of love is active within us, then we will find the motivation for seeking out and having removed those things that actually rob us of our spiritual heritage, that rob us of our true humanity. Now, it is so that such things can be seen and removed that we are given truths in a textual form. And that is called the Word. And that we are commanded to take these truths and to live from them. Because it's that process that actually begins setting down the foundation for the creation of a new heaven and earth. To possess a love for what is spiritual will mean that we will grow in our love for what is true and what is good. And so as we grow in our love for what is true and what is good, that will be seen in a growth or an increase in our love for the Word, for the Lord's Word. The first thing said in the Word is that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Spiritual wholeness for those who look to the Word proceeds from accepting that what is offered in the text of Scripture is first and foremost from the divine. It is divine revelation. And secondly, because it is from the divine, it must be true. It must be true because by definition, nothing evil or false can come forth from God. So we can have full confidence that all Scripture is true, and because it is true, it must lead to goodness in a person's life. That's what makes it true. It leads to what is loving. Now, this doesn't stop it being used in ways that are destructive or misleading. But the mishandling of truth doesn't do away with the fact that it is from the Lord Himself. And it doesn't undermine the value of the truth that is there. Its intrinsic value. It is still true regardless of what people do to it. So to accept the first statement of the book of Genesis, a person has to accept that God is. And that through God, what is called the heavens and the earth are created. Now, to see what's involved here in terms of its application to the life of the human mind, we need to begin to see that the terms being used in sacred scripture, those like God, beginning, heavens, earth, and the term created, don't mean what they appear to mean on the surface. The natural meaning conveyed by the words is not their spiritual meaning. We can see this because the natural meaning gets us to focus on and understand the text in terms of the natural world, the world we perceive in our senses. Meaning that is spiritual in character doesn't direct our focus outward, but rather it draws our focus towards internal things, the things within our minds. What the natural level of meaning does is two things. One, it provides us with a container out of which the spiritual meaning can be drawn. And two, it presents us with general principles that can lead us to see more universal applications of the text in regard to the life of our minds. So the natural meaning is a point of stepping off. It provides a basis for thinking about higher things, but in and of itself does not tell us about those things. It is the spiritual meaning within it that tells us about spiritual realities. The natural meaning of the words of the first verse of Genesis offers us a general principle that is true, and it is a spiritual principle, and it is the central idea to spiritual wholeness. And it is this, that all things come into being from a single source. That is a truth. That is a truth. And that source is called or is given the name God. But here's the question. What do we understand by the term God? Now, the key to understanding what this term God means spiritually requires us to ask another question. What does the term or the word God relate to as far as my inner mental life is concerned? Because clearly, if the spiritual meaning of the text relates to our inner life, then God too must be present as some form of spiritual phenomena related to human consciousness. Now, most of us have grown up with ideas of God that attributes natural human tendencies and characteristics to the divine. And such ideas are appropriate and necessary, particularly for children. And they are necessary in order to hold natural religion in the world. But attributing natural ideas, natural characteristics to the divine is not helpful when we want to think more deeply or spiritually about these truths. The Lord does not possess finite human characteristics. The divine doesn't. But natural human characteristics can be a stepping off point for perceiving something of the divine. But the divine as it is in itself is beyond any human comprehension, because the divine is infinite and we are finite. And by definition, the finite cannot contain the infinite. It's impossible. But we have to be able to lay aside to the best of our ability the natural ideas we have carried that are associated with this term, God, if we are to see things in a more internal way. And when we get back to the Hebrew text, it can be useful in terms of breaking those associations that we carry associated with the word God. So we can redefine things in terms of the Hebrew term that is used for God, which is the word Elohim. And from that we can build new associations, spiritual associations that can help us see where God fits in to our life. Now there are two main names used for God throughout the Old Testament. These names, and there are others aside from these, but these are the two main names, the two main Hebrew names used for the divine. First one I've just mentioned, and that is the word Elohim. The second one is Yehovah, or Jehovah, as this is often pronounced. Now, in the Old Testament of our English Bibles, the Bibles we read, Elohim is translated as God. So when you come across the word God, when you're reading your Bible, it is the Hebrew word Elohim that forms the basis for that translation. The other name, Yehovah, is translated in your English Bible and it's capitalized, so all the letters are capitals, by the word Lord. So wherever you see the word Lord in capitals in the Old Testament of your Bible, it is Yehoah or Jehovah. That is what underlies it. Now, both these names refer to one God, but they refer to specific aspects of the divine. Elohim or God is used where the subject has to do with the activity of divine truth. Whereas Yehovah is used, or Lord is used, where the subject and activity or the focus is on the divine good or divine love. So where we read the word God in the Bible, it means the divine truth. That's what it spiritually means. The word God means divine truth. So it follows that if God means divine truth, we can legitimately transpose the term divine truth where the term God occurs. So if we do that with Genesis 1:1, what we have then is, in the beginning, divine truth created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. Now the divine truth is nothing other than the Word. For the Word is divine truth, the heavenly doctrines tell us. So now the verse can be read, in the beginning, the Word created the heavens and the earth. The Word is the agent by which the heavens and the earth are created. Now, this is a remarkable thought. The Word, or the sacred scriptures that you hold in your hands, are the agent by which the heavens and the earth are brought into being. Now, just as the term God has a meaning that applies to the internal world of your mind, so too do the words heaven or heavens and earth. Heavens is in the plural. The heavens being spoken of here are not those that make up the sky above us. Nor does the term earth refer to the planet which is beneath our feet. These are natural ideas tied to the literal meaning of the words that are being used here. In very general terms, though, the word heavens does give us the idea of what is higher, and that's the important thing. In relation to the earth, which gives us the idea of what is lower, higher and lower. So in simple terms, heavens and earth refer to what is higher and what is lower within the human mind. In spiritual terms, higher means what is more internal, finer, deeper. Lower means what is more external, more gross, less subtle, more in your face. So when we talk of internal and external things that belong to the mind, we can only be referring to mental phenomena, because that's what's in the mind. You can only be referring to what is of the thought and what is of the affections, because that is what the mind is. And so higher and lower, or more internal and more external, refers to the quality of the thoughts and affections that are in focus. Higher affections, higher thoughts, heavenly things. Lower affections, lower thoughts, earthly concerns, anxieties and worries. So you're talking about levels. So that has to do with the idea of heavens and earth, higher and lower. Now we come to this term, beginning. Again, this word, like the others we have looked at, has a spiritual application, and as such, it doesn't mean a point in time in history. It doesn't mean that. It might appear to on the surface, but we are talking about what is more internal, the life of the mind. And so spiritually, it refers to something that is initiated within. It doesn't refer to a point physically and materially when the heavens and the earth and all the planets and the stars and things came into being. It's not what's being spoken about. So spiritually, it actually refers to the first state of genuine spiritual life coming into being within a person's mind. This first state of spiritual life is called the beginning. And it is when a person is receptive, and so begins receptive of what is good and true, receptive of acknowledging the divine, receptive of the idea that they are a spiritual being living in a physical body. When that idea, those concepts begin to dawn on a person, so that is the beginning. That is the beginning. So begins the path of regeneration, path of renewal, or what in John's Gospel is called being born again. That beginning is a state of mind in which the divine is first acknowledged and is seen as the source of one's life. It is only when divine truth is freely accepted into the mind that the heavens and earth, or the internal and the external mind of a person, can begin to be recreated in the image of God. Which brings us to the word created. Now, this word created is only ever used in the word in relation to the renewal of the human mind, the renewal of the heart, renewal of the spirit, renewal of the understanding. Now, this Hebrew word, which we translate as created, is the word bara, and it means to form or fashion through cutting. Through cutting. The idea of cutting is very much embedded in this word. Now, the heavenly doctrines for the new church teach that implements, tools, weapons, all the things in the Bible that are associated with cutting correspond to things to do with the understanding, with the thought life. The operation of the rational mind often is associated with this idea of cutting. It is because truths, or the word, the truths from the word, gives us the material that enables us to cut down false ideas, that enable us to divide and separate what is good from what is evil. Truths enable us to do this. Enables us to separate out what is useful in regard to the spiritual life from that which is not useful or helpful. And so it is that truths, through their ability to shed light on things, gives us the ability to cut through the darkened states of our own life. So what we have described in this first verse of Genesis is the means by which that which is truly real, or what is spiritual within the human mind, comes into being. And we see that for things to progress spiritually, truths must be active in our life. It is the Word and the Word alone that provides the material through which the mind can be refashioned and rebuilt so that it can be transformed into the image of God, or what is truly reflective of divine truth, or what divine truth teaches, which is what the word God means. So we can see in a few other verses from the Bible how this term created is used. So from Psalm 51, verses 6 to 12, we have this. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Here it is. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Also from Psalm 102, verses 15 to 22. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory, he shall regard the prayer of the destitute, and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. That a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. This is about raising up what is of the Lord in a person. When we talk about this idea of regeneration, what is being regenerated? What is being regenerated? Well, the thing that is actually being regenerated in us is the Word itself. It is the Word itself that is regenerated. It is the Word that is made to come alive in us. And this occurs when it is opened up and its spiritual sense is able to be seen. Because the spiritual sense of the word exists within the letter. And it is when its inner meaning is released into our life that we are then empowered to deal with those things that hold us back from the spiritual life that are active within our minds. The spiritual sense of the word is specifically given to regenerate the human mind so that we can see what it is we have to deal with within. And until this sense is seen, the word lies in our natural mind, bound up like a prisoner, groaning to be released. The imagery there, groaning to be released because it's bound up in natural ideas and concepts. But the Lord promises that he will release it. And he will release it. He will release that word that groans within when we are willing to take hold of those truths and use them to reflect on the life of our mind. We are in a state of having the word in us groaning to be released. And this manifests as a desire for higher things, a desire for the word, a desire to see what the word contains and to know how to use it in regard to our own life. But until that awakening occurs, we see that in Genesis it says of the external mind or of the earth that it is without form and void, and darkness is on the face of the deep. This is a state of mind of those yet to be created, yet to be regenerated. So it's important that we can see here that the human mind can only be said to be created once it has been raised up into the goods and truths of the Lord's word, of the internal sense of the word. Prior to this, a person can't be said to be truly existing, truly living. For exist in this context means to be spiritually alive to the inner things of the word, to love them and to be living from them. Where this is not the case, the mind is effectively without form and void and filled with ignorance and darkness concerning things of heaven, concerning those things that are good and true. So moving back to the statement, we are because God is, we can see that we only truly come into being when the divine truth is allowed to recreate our minds. This occurs only when we recognize that the word we have access to as the sacred scriptures is the very basis for spiritual life. It is the basis for a healthy mind, a healthy spirit. And it's when we live from those truths that our minds are able to take on a new form. Now, the last part of that second verse is filled with hope. For where the word is, so is the Lord's Spirit. So is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God being the divine truth that comes forth from the word and is able to enter into the darkness and the void of our ignorance, where it broods or hovers or vibrates over the faces of the waters. Those waters being the truths of the Lord's word that are sitting there, that are groaning to be released. Spirit of God is over them, wanting to draw out what is within them so that we can be released into newness of life. The Spirit of truth makes its presence felt only as we look to apply the commandments or the Lord's word to the internal level of the life of our mind. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be able to abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It is right and necessary that we live from the commandments as to our external life, but this is not how a person is regenerated. It is merely the point of stepping off. For regeneration to begin, we have to discover how these commandments are able to be applied to the life and activity of our internal elements, our mind. This is where the commandments, where the word has to be applied if regeneration is to begin. The Helper is the Spirit of truth who dwells with us. But it is not enough that it is with us. It must be in us. And this can only occur when we take the Lord's word into our internal life. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Not only can we say we are because God is, but that we are when God or the Word is alive in us. Amen.